You can listen to Issues Etc. live and on demand with the new Issues Etc. iPhone and Android app. You can get these apps at our website, issuesetc.org. Give us a call, send us an email, or follow us on Facebook or Twitter. Issues Etc. in the palm of your hand. The new Issues Etc. iPhone and Android app. Download today at issuesetc.org. There's an app for that.
I'm not going to have this conversation with you because you obviously have an agenda. You're not interested in having an answer. But I have responded to you to the extent that I'm going to respond to you because I want to tell you something. As a mother of five children, my oldest child is 6 years old the day I brought my fifth child home from the hospital. As a practicing and respectful Catholic, this is sacred ground to me when we talk about this. I don't think it should have anything to do with politics. And that's where you're taking it, and I'm not going there.
Very interesting, the question that House Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi was responding to there was not a question about politics. It was actually a question about morality. The question from the reporter in this press conference was, is there a moral comparison between what Kermit Gosnell, now the notorious and convicted of murder abortionist in Philadelphia, did in his abortion clinics that got him murder convictions, and what happens in abortion clinics every day, in particular, late-term abortions? She did not want to answer the question. She did not answer the question. She took great umbrage at the question. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Scott Klusendorf is going to join us for about a half hour here. In hour two, we're going to be responding to some of what Nancy Pelosi had to say in the course of her answer, or what she, I think she thought sufficed as an answer to the questions of the reporter on the moral equivalency between murdering, infanticide, and abortion. You can join us as well, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. Send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, or a tweet at issuesetc. A little bit later in this hour, Pastor Mark Buteau will join us. We're going to talk about baptism and the death and resurrection of Jesus. Scott Klusendorf is president of Life Training Institute, and he's author of the book, The Case for Life, Equipping Christians to Engage the Culture. Scott, welcome back.
Hi, Todd. Good afternoon.
The question that the reporter asked was, and we'll hear it in just a minute, but he asks this question, which is there a moral equivalence, is there a moral connection between Kermit Gosnell's murders and late-term abortion? Is that reporter asking the right question?
He's right on the money. He's basically framing the debate this way. Does each and every human being have an equal right to life, or do only some have it because of their location, their level of development, or some function they may be able to perform? He nailed her. And Dennis Prager has a great observation. He says, listen, the left does not refute conservative arguments. The left gets offended. Or as they teach you in law school, if you have the facts, pound the facts. If you don't have the facts, pound the table and do it loudly. Nancy Pelosi was pounding the table. She was nailed with that question.
Is her response any surprise to you that she would essentially say, and we'll hear her say it in a moment, I'm not going to answer that?
No, not at all. It's exactly what Barbara Boxer did when Rick Santorum nailed her on partial birth abortion back in the mid-90s. Santorum said, listen, Senator Boxer, should the child be protected if one foot is still in the birth canal? And Boxer refused to answer the question, did exactly what Pelosi did here, personalized it, framed it as some kind of politicizing personal attack, and refused to answer.
Well, let's hear the first part of the interchange between the reporter from the Weekly Standard and Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi.
So the question I have for you is, what is the moral difference between what Dr. Gosnell did to a baby born alive at 23 weeks and aborting her moments before birth?
What's okay, you're probably enjoying that question a lot. I can see you savoring it. But let me just tell you this. let me just tell you this. What was done in Philadelphia was reprehensible, and everybody condemned it. For them to decide to disrespect a judgment a woman makes about her reproductive health is reprehensible. Next question.
All right. Did she answer the question in any sense?
No, not at all. In fact, the most honest thing she said in the whole thing was, hey, I can see you're savoring that question. You bet, because it puts her right on the spot. It's funny. On one hand, she says, listen, what Gosnell did is reprehensible. Everybody knows it was. The obvious question is why? What was it about what he did that was so reprehensible? And she does not answer that. She simply says it's reprehensible to tell women what their decision should be on their reproductive health. She avoids the question completely.
Well, this is what I heard her answer saying, and I'm looking at the parallel between those two uses of the word reprehensible. She doesn't qualify either one of them as one was completely reprehensible and yours is somewhat. She seemed to say to the reporter, what Gosnell did was reprehensible, and what you are doing to me right now to even question a woman's right to choose is equally reprehensible. She seemed to say there's a moral equivalence between what Gosnell did and what pro-lifers do.
Well, yes, but this is right out of the Saul Alinsky rules for radicals. You don't answer an objection that puts you on the spot. You aggressively turn it around and attack your opponent personally, which is what she did. We see this come up in abortion debates all the time. The pro-lifer lays out a case that the science of embryology establishes that the unborn are distinct, living, whole human beings. The pro-lifer will go on to argue that philosophically there's no relevant difference between the embryos we once were and the adults we are today that justifies killing us at that earlier stage of development. And our opponents won't deal with the science or the philosophy. Instead, what they'll do is attack us personally. Why do you hate women? Why have you declared war on women? You don't care. You don't adopt children you don't want aborted. You aren't willing to step up and care for all the poor people in the world. You just care about some before they're born. See, these are not answers to the pro-life argument. And I don't care whether it's Donald Miller who's launching these personal attacks or it's Nancy Pelosi. The facts are still the same. They don't answer our case.
The conversation between the reporter from the Weekly Standard and Nancy Pelosi continued.
What's the moral difference then between 26 weeks, elective abortion, and the killing of that same infant born alive? This is the issue that they're talking
about. This is not the issue. They are saying that there's no abortion. They want to make it a federal law that there be no abortion in our country. You're taking the extreme case. You're taking the extreme case. And what I'm saying to you is what happened in Philadelphia was reprehensible.
Now, isn't the context of this question, Scott, the debate that the U.S. House was having over a bill on late-term abortions, in particular abortions where it's been shown again and again and again that the infant in the womb feels pain? It seems to me that she hasn't been paying attention to what the House has been debating.
Yes, this was a setup question in the sense that it was pointing toward the debate that was going to be taking place on that House bill that was voted on yesterday. And obviously she was trying to play defense in opposition to that bill. But I still think it's just amazing to listen to the way that she immediately turns and makes it personal. She accuses her opponent of making the issue political. Well, she makes it personal. In fact, that's how the left does politics, make everything personal.
Is this something that you have often heard in the course of your debates when asking similar questions?
Oh, yeah. I've done debates, and recently I did one out at UC Berkeley, that bastion of conservative thought, where I was debating Malcolm Potts in front of 600 of his own students. And in that debate, I laid out reasons why Dr. Potts' own science was deeply flawed. I really took it to him on that. Then I made the argument, very similar to what the reporter just did, that there was no essential difference between the embryos we once were and the adults we are today that justify killing us. And Dr. Potts did not answer my argument. Here's what he did. He put up on the screen behind him a quote of mine where he had removed words from it, and he then claimed that I was happy to see women die from illegal abortion. I mean, that's how bad he got. And I'll tell you, he was marching around the stage, stomping his foot, interrupting me. The moderators could not control him. It was a total meltdown. I'd be ashamed to show up in front of his students the next day if I were he. The interesting thing here is, though, that while there are some thoughtful opponents of the pro-life view, and I'll name a couple, David Boonin being one, even Peter Singer, though I think his conclusions are radical and awful, he isn't a flamethrower. But that's not the vast majority of people you meet at the political level who simply try to turn this into one big personal attack against anybody who would oppose abortion for any reason.
Why the passion on that side?
I'll tell you, I'm going to go out a little bit on a limb here, Todd, but several years ago I read a book entitled Pagan Meditations by an author named Jeanette Paris, and she describes abortion as an essentially religious act, a sacred sacrifice to the goddess Artemis. And she goes on to argue in a subsequent book that if we saw abortion as a sacred ritual, it would restore to the act a sense of the sanctity of life. I really think that for a lot of these people, the secularists believe that if you cannot have an abortion for any reason, if abortion is anything but completely available and legal, that their fundamental liberties have been lost. I think there are others on the religious left who do view this as a sacred issue, and it does raise an interesting point. We've got a lot of Christian pastors running around saying, we don't want to touch abortion because it's a political issue. We're not going to get involved in it. Then we have politicians saying, well, we don't want to touch abortion because it's a religious issue. And we've got this football being tossed back and forth with no one wanting to take responsibility.
Scott Klusendorf is our guest to be with us for another 10 minutes. On the other side of the break, we will hear how the conversation between the Weekly Standard reporter and Nancy Pelosi concluded when we come back and get his reaction. Your reaction is welcome as well. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org.
Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, email, Google+. Simple ways that you can share Issues Etc. programs with your friends, relatives, and fellow parishioners. Just go to Listen on Demand Archives at issuesetc.org and look for the share feature images posted beneath each audio segment. You're only one click away from telling someone about Issues Etc. The Listen on Demand page at issuesetc.org and look for Share This.
Does your church need a backup organist? The Virtual Organist Service from Church Music Solutions is the next best thing to an on-site organist. Send us your musical choices, including liturgy and hymns. We'll assemble your service and send it to an iPad that controls your church's organ on Sunday. The result is genuine organ leadership on your instrument with your selections when you need it. See our videos on YouTube or visit our website at churchmusicsolutions.com.
Talk radio for the thinking Christian. You're listening to Issues Etc.
The Church's Music from the 20th Century. The 17th Century. The 11th century. The 8th century. The 4th century. The best of the church's music from the past 2,000 years. LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're responding to recent abortion comments made by House Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi. Scott Klusendorf is our guest. He's president of Life Training Institute, author of the book, The Case for Life, Equipping Christians to Engage the Culture. You'll find a link to the Life Training Institute and to Scott's book, The Case for Life, under the Listen on Demand page at issuesetc.org. Scott, before the break, I asked you about why the sometimes just the almost irrational emotional response like we get from House Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi in the audio that we're listening to and reacting to. Could it also be, I can't read hearts, but it could also be an indication of the state of one's conscience, especially in light of a question that makes the question before the conscience all too apparent, like the one asked by that reporter?
Well, I think so, Todd. It can also be that, for sure. Look at all of us in our personal lives. I mean, don't we tend to get defensive when we're called on something, even those of us that are progressing in our sanctification? Even after we're justified by Christ's blood and put in a right relationship with God, we still find ourselves making excuses. So that's not surprising. But I think in this case, there is something even deeper. I think it's not only the tendency of the human heart to deny its own wickedness, it's also a cultural norm that is beginning to develop in the political class that if there is not a right to an abortion, no other rights exist, and they are willing to die on that hill. That is the one thing you will see the Democrat Party refuse to compromise on. They may give a little here and there on some things, but they will fight to the last man when it comes to abortion.
There was a flourish in something Nancy Pelosi said, and I do want your thoughts on it before we hear her last comments here. And that is, she added, as often Roman Catholic politicians who are pro-choice do, that they are devout Roman Catholics. She also happened to add that she was a mother, and I believe a grandmother. Are either of those issues relevant in her response?
No. Let's say that she weren't any of those things. Could she still be right that abortion is okay? Yeah. If, in fact, abortion is okay, it wouldn't matter what her gender is or how many kids she has. Could she be wrong, though, that abortion is okay, despite her biography? And the answer is, of course, it has nothing to do with whether or not abortion is right or wrong. The rightness or wrongness of abortion comes down to this question. Does elective abortion intentionally take the life of an innocent human being? And if the answer to that question is yes, her biography is irrelevant to this debate.
Let's hear how Nancy Pelosi closed the conversation during this press conference with the reporter from the Weekly Standard.
I'm not going to have this conversation with you because you obviously have an agenda. You're not interested in having an answer. But I have responded to you to the extent that I'm going to respond to you because I want to tell you something. As a mother of five children, my oldest child is 6 years old the day I brought my fifth child home from the hospital. As a practicing and respectful Catholic, this is sacred ground to me when we talk about this. I don't think it should have anything to do with politics. And that's where you're taking it, and I'm not going there.
Well, what's your response there?
Well, it's interesting how she says, I'm not going to have this conversation with you, but then proceeds to have a conversation where she alone is talking. But beyond that, look, I'm not a Roman Catholic, but I do know what Roman Catholic doctrine is on abortion, and she is outside of it, and it would be absolutely correct for the church to rein her in and say, no more communion for you. In fact, I wish Catholics would do this. I actually wish the Catholic Church, Todd, would become less pluralistic and more exclusive in its truth claims. I would be more comfortable with a Catholic Church that said no one else is going to be saved except those who belong to the Roman Catholic Church than I am that lets people believe whatever they want and get away with it, especially when they hold public office. This is very damaging to the church, and I think it's why you saw Pope Benedict go after this in his book, Truth and Tolerance in Religion. I think it's why we're going to see the church hopefully begin to tighten a little bit on who is a Catholic. She needs to be called on that.
So since the House Minority Leader would not answer the question, I will ask you the question, and I want you to answer it for me, Scott. The simple question asked by the reporter from the Weekly Standard, what is the moral difference between what Dr. Gosnell did to a baby born alive at 23 weeks and aborting her, that is the baby, moments before birth?
7 inches, basically. What we're basically hearing here, implied in Nancy Pelosi's remark, is that 7 inches matters. Where you are somehow changes what you are. And the reporter was absolutely right to frame it that way and show the absurdity of the position. And he went a step further because he's saying, look, this child outside the womb is actually younger than the one inside. And you're going to tell me that the location is what's going to make the difference here? And I think we can learn something from this reporter in how we approach this as pro-lifers. We need to put our opponents on the defensive and ask the question, why is the thing you're saying is decisive, whether it be the level of development or some function you can perform like self-awareness, why is that decisive? And make our opponents argue for it. And I applaud this reporter for doing that.
Nancy Pelosi said several times that what Kermit Gosnell did was reprehensible. I know that you can't read her mind, but given what she has said, how she has voted, her rhetoric when it comes to a woman's right to choose, as she would say, do you believe that she is simply saying that she thinks what Gosnell is reprehensible? Because you kind of have to say that for a guy's convicted of murder. Does she really believe, given her track record otherwise, that what Kermit Gosnell did by killing babies outside the womb is reprehensible?
Well, her record would indicate she does not believe that. She has opposed every single piece of pro-life legislation that's come down the pike in her career, I believe. I would be shocked if there was ever a time that she voted in favor of a pro-life bill. And even bills that are aimed at restricting what clinics can get away with, making them subject to federal safety regulations, for example, she has come out against those, as have most Democrats. So I don't know that her record's going to support her claim that she finds this reprehensible, and it would seem, I can't prove beyond all doubt, but I think a reasonable person would have to ask the question, why does she find this reprehensible? What is it in her professional career as a politician that would lead us to believe she actually believes that?
Does the political career have something to do with it, Scott? The fact that many of these politicians, I think we can say safely, Nancy Pelosi included, have made their political careers on the issue of abortion.
Oh, they have. And there is a sizable part of the American public that, as I said earlier, believes that unless you have the right to kill a human fetus through all 9 months of pregnancy for any reason or no reason, you have no fundamental rights. That right is the chief cornerstone of all of them. And certainly Pelosi holds to that, as do a majority of the left. So I think that in her mind, she's not lying when she has said, as she has said on other occasions, that this is the foundational issue. I believe her when she says that. And unfortunately, a lot of Americans agree with her, which means we as pro-life Christians have our work cut out for us. We have all got to become pro-life apologists. We all have to be prepared to argue our case persuasively and winsomely with people who don't hold our view.
It sounds like you were saying that while pro-lifers say that without the right to life, no other rights matter.
Mm-hmm.
Pro-choicers are saying without the right to abort, no other rights matter. That's a pretty stark difference.
Oh, it's a huge worldview divide, and it does come down to this. Does each and every human being have an equal right to life, or do only some have it? And that is the debate. The science is pretty well settled here. Each of us began as a distinct, living, whole human being at the beginning. At the very beginning, from fertilization forward, that's the kind of being we were. The question is, philosophically, are we going to value each of us the same way?
This is a question that I asked when we were reviewing the audio before we came on the air. Can a politician like Nancy Pelosi, how long can these kind of answers suffice? Get chuckles from the press gallery, get pats on the back from her fellow pro-choicers. How long will the public continue to be convinced by these kinds of non-answers to crucial questions? 1 minute, Scott.
The public and the press will be convinced for as long as it takes pro-lifers in mass to equip themselves to engage. Joe Carter had a great article a couple of years ago saying that the reason why elective abortion is allowed today is because our pulpits allow it. And what he meant was it's an issue that's rarely talked about. And if it is talked about, it's not talked about in a manner that equips parishioners to make a case for the pro-life view where they live and work and go to school. And as long as we aren't taking abortion seriously, the press won't either.
Scott Klusendorf is president of Life Training Institute, and he's authored the book The Case for Life, Equipping Christians to Engage the Culture. Scott, thank you very much for being our guest.
Thank you, Todd, and thank you for your consistent witness for life.
When we come back, we're going to spend some time talking with Pastor Mark Buto. He's written an article in a recent Higher Things magazine titled Dying and Rising from Above. We'll talk about baptism and the death and resurrection of Jesus. St. Paul says that this baptism that Christ has given his church, it is dying with Christ. It is being crucified with Christ. It is being buried with him, and it is being raised with him. Now, is he just engaging in some kind of very elaborate metaphor, figure of speech, some odd comparison? Or is he saying what baptism actually is? We'll answer that question with Pastor Mark Buto right after this.
South Africa.
China.
Germany.
Trinidad and Tobago.
Did you know that people listen to Issues Etc. around the world?
India.
Sweden.
Egypt.
France.
Turkey.
Japan.
Australia.
Canada.
United Kingdom.
Hong Kong.
Austria.
Finland.
Malaysia.
Singapore. Bulgaria.
Korea. Brazil.
You can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by making a secure online donation at issuesetc.org. You can also donate by check. Make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio and send it to LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Help us proclaim Christ to the world.
The Philippines.
Mexico.
Spain.
New Zealand.
Kuwait.
Do you struggle to reach out to friends or family members who have questions about Christianity? Well, we have just the resource for you. It's a new book titled What They Need to Hear, Sharing Christ with Family and Friends. It's written by regular guest Pastor Clement Preuss. What They Need to Hear is published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040. Or you can browse before you buy at issuesetc.org. What They Need to Hear, the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for June.
Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Duluth, Minnesota would like to invite you to join us Sunday mornings at 9:30. Whether you are visiting our beautiful city or live here, we have liturgical worship that shares Jesus with you. We're easy to find at 20th Avenue East and Superior Street, and also offer Bible classes at 8:25 Sunday mornings with Sunday school September through May. Check out our website for other Bible study times, visit or call 218-724-2500.
Talk radio for the Christian worldview. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Major changes in stem cell research.
This is a special commentary from the Susan B. Anthony List, named for the suffragette who was proudly pro-life.
We've been saying it for years, but they're finally catching on. Embryonic stem cell research, which requires the destruction of a human embryo, is unethical and unproductive. Instead, we've championed adult stem cell research, which is ethical and has produced cures. Now, one of the biotech companies that originally championed embryonic research, Advanced Cell Technology, is dedicating its resources to adult stem cell research. The same is true of the California Institute of Medicine. It, too, is switching from embryonic to adult stem cell research. It has been a long time coming, but better late than never.
This is Marjorie Dannenfelser, president of the Susan B. Anthony List. To join us in our battle for life, visit our website at sba-list.org.